Hello, this is Jeff Salzenstein, and today's interview, the Buggy Whip Forehand. We're putting this audio interview in the Buggy Whip Blueprint course that I've created. And interestingly enough, when I devised this course, I found 19 different ways that you could use the Buggy Whip. The caller today is a well-known world-class coach who probably has 19 more ways to use it besides the 19 I came up with. Joseph O'Dwyer could arguably be called one of the founding fathers of the modern-day Buggy Whip forehand in that the way that he trains the shot, the way that he comes up with the details and the nuances and the subtleties that most coach will never see in their years of coaching. We have a real gift today with this interview. Joe is the one that showed me the Buggy Whip when I was 28 years old. And we're going to talk to him about it today in this short interview. Joe, thanks for coming on the call. I know you're busy coaching at a challenger this week, and you're taking time out to help all of us out, help us learn about the Buggy Whip forehand today.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and anything to do with that, the coaching that you're doing and the knowledge you're giving out to the people. It's great to speak to you. Buggy Whip, one of my favorite shots to teach, and probably the fondest memory was when we first started working together, and we kind of started working on that together, and you tried it out and you used it. But I think it was when you went to Aptos to play that challenger and you won that challenger and you hit like 7 or 8 balls in that match that probably helped you win the match, that made you see, wow, this is something that can really, really help my game in a critical moment in matches.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's funny. We have a lot of things we can talk about here, but I actually want to go back to the beginning. I like to do that with all of my listeners. I want to ask you, Joe, point blank, when did you first see what was going on with this shot, with this strange, peculiar shot with the hand going over the head, the racket going over the head, not going over the shoulder? When did you start to notice it in your observations as either a player, as a coach? And what made you think that, wait a minute, we can actually train this shot? Because this is a lot different than, you know, people just randomly doing it. You actually train people to do it now. So when did the light bulb go off when back in the day as a player, as a coach?
First off, believe it or not, probably in the 1970s, I was looking at John Newcomb playing, and I was just watching the finish from his forehand, and I noticed that he had a finish, like he had a different finish when he hit the ball on the forehand, and his finish got above his head, and I went, whoa, what is that? And I watched him use it, and he hit a topspin lob, and I went, whoa, that's interesting. And then I saw him hit another one, you know, when he was stretched out wide on the run, and then I went, okay, well, that's a shot that one of the best players in the world uses. And I saw Rod Laver using it, and then it just went from there. That's basically, and I went out on the tennis court, experimented with the shot, and went, wow, this can really, really work when I'm on the run or I want to use it on the topspin lob. And then from there, I just hit it to all parts of the court, just started hitting it, used it, had my one of the players that I was playing with feed me balls. We basically fed one of our balls, and it specifically worked on that shot. And that's how it began. Fondest memory actually was an American player, Ben Testerman, a lefty. Nobody knows him really that well. Probably some of the listeners that are older will definitely know him, but he was playing in the semifinals of the mixed doubles with Billie Jean King at Wimbledon, and every finish he used was a buggy, a lefty. And that's where I went, what's going on here? This is John Newcomb to Ben Testerman. I went, well, it's out there. Let me go out and try this shot. So that's how it came about, and I just threw out the name the Buggy Whip because it looked like you extended your hand out and then you pulled it back like you're cracking a whip, you know, driving horses basically.
So Joe, you had never heard anyone use the term Buggy Whip before you gave it that name?
No, that's a total Irish name right there, Buggy Whip. Yeah.
So now you know, I've been using that term for years, of course, after I met you. And then now I've got my website, and I even have done a couple things on my blog. And now you've got Robbie Koenig on the Tennis Channel. When he sees someone use the reverse forehand, he's saying the guy just hit a buggy with forehand. So you are, you're probably the father of that term. And now people just kind of use it. You were the guy. That's we might have to write a tennis history book someday around that.
Well, I think you're already writing the history book.
I don't know about that. But another interesting point that you brought up, and it just came to me, and I think now I understand why you saw Testerman hitting the buggy whip on every lefty forehand, and you see Nadal using it on 75% of his forehand. You know, and we were talking about angles earlier, is that as a lefty, we want to hook that ball off the court against a guy, a righty with a backhand. But as a righty, you're generally going to use more of an inside-out forehand or maybe a deeper cross. You're not going to hit an angle to the guy's forehand most of the time. So maybe that's the reason that the lefties buggy whip more, because they want to get outside the ball and they want to hook the ball, and it's simply easier to do that with the buggy whip forehand. What are your thoughts on that concept?
I think you hit the nail right on the head. Yeah, most people, when you pull them out on the backhand side and you hook them out, you're either going to get a slice back, or if it's a double hand, the backhand, they're going to have to release the hand. And if that's what Rafa does. And once he sees that and he hooks you out, and once he sees you go to that one hand, he takes control of that point, and he does not let you out of it. Like, once he finds that hole in your game, and you're the unfortunate one of Roland Garros out there, way off the court trying to get a ball back to Rafa, he's already running around and hitting the next forehand into the open part of the court. So it makes it it's a nightmare play to deal with. Very much a nightmare play. Yeah.
Definitely. And so, you know, again, as I alluded to earlier, you've really brought an art to the buggy whip forehand, and that you train all of your players to use it in certain parts of the court and certain situations. It's not just a random occurrence. Now, I know that there are pro players out on the tour that just randomly use the buggy whip. In fact, I have a video of me when I was 12 years old using the buggy whip. I didn't even know I was using it. But now, as a coach, you know, I'm obviously training this shot as well. How do you work with a player, maybe it's a rec player that you want to show to, maybe it's different for a rec player than a high-performance player, but how do you kind of introduce the buggy whip? What kind of drills might you do right away for someone who's just learning the buggy whip to get the real feel? What is your philosophy on how to consciously train it instead of it being a random occurrence when you're under stress?
Well, the key is showing them the extension, that the extension is probably the first thing that they learn to need. They need to learn how to use is you hand feed them the ball and you make them step in with a closed stance, and when they finish, their arm is straight out and the palm is open and above their head. And you pull it back around. But the extension is probably the most important part of the buggy whip. And it's why a lot of coaches are loath to teach it, because a lot of them don't know how to do it. What they do is they teach an abbreviated version where they go out and they pull it back too quickly on their shoulder, so they don't have the extension with the arm and then they pull it back. The extension is key on the buggy, absolutely key. And that's how you start it. And once you get the extension, and they have that racket face out in front of them and it's above their head, which you'll show in the video, and then you make it pull it back, and then they have the formula. And then they can do anything with it, basically. You can hit an angle, you can hit a toss of lob, you can drive it, you can hit a heavy rotational ball. It opens up when you're on the run. Yeah, it opens the hole. It opens up completely. It makes you offensive from any part of the court when you're on the run in the forehand side. You can absolutely end the point with that finish. Like, Pete Sampras was a master at it, probably the all-time master for a right-hander. Yeah.
So I know back in our days in Atlanta, and I remember that at Aptos Challenger where you know, I used the buggy whip as a rally ball cross court. And then, you know, now Rafa, that was the big thing that helped him last year, is he really started ripping that buggy whip down the line. And I find that's just absolutely devastating because, you know, you can really disguise it and hold the point of contact. So, you know, do you think, I mean, I guess this leads into my next question with a rec player or a junior player. Obviously, some players can overdo it. They can do it too much and forget about their regular forehand. How do you kind of introduce it in that, hey, I want you to use it on the runner. I want you to use it on a high ball. I want you to use it sometimes on the down the line. How do you get a player to find the right mix of when to use the buggy whip and when not to do it?
Oh, I think if it's time-based. So if you've got a lot of time on your hands and the ball is in your strike zone, you're going to do a normal hand turn at your shoulder, or you're going to drop it a little bit lower and just turn your hand around after the extension. And you don't really need to use it. It's primarily, you can, for the most players, when you're really, really on the run and you cannot get to that ball, and so it's impossible to turn your hand all the way around without mishitting it. So the buggy just, it's kind of an abbreviated finish. It's an abbreviated finish with the full extension that you would normally have with a normal finish, except you use it when it's stress-based. And then you just feed the ball. You just make it, you know, you give them an easy ball and you give them a really stress-based feed where they, you know, you toss it, you make them really run after the ball. And then they learn themselves when they need to use it, and they don't, it's not required. And it's literally getting out there, and each and every player have different foot speeds to the ball. So particularly for recreational players, you know, they're not as fast as the touring pros. They'll probably actually use the buggy whip more than what the touring pros would use it. Yeah, because they're not as fast. So the faster you are to the ball, probably the less you would need to use the buggy. But like if you're stretching for that ball and you're not quick, it's an ideal time to use that buggy. That's why your clients will have a great time with these videos and the drills that you'll give to them. It will just go a long way in helping their game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, as you alluded to earlier, you talked about coaches that don't want to teach players the buggy whip. And I obviously disagree. You disagree. I feel like it doesn't matter what level you're at, as long as you understand how to manage it, it's a great tool for a number of reasons. One, you're going to be late on your forehand sometimes, so you need to know what to do when you're late. The ball is going to be out of your strike zone at some point, so you have to know when the ball is at your knees or when the ball is above your shoulder that you can use the buggy whip. You're going to be on the run under stress. And so all of these conditions apply to any level that you're playing at. And what you taught me, Joe, what you helped me understand was that if you want to keep ascending to higher levels, you must be able to hit balls under stress. And the buggy whip is one option to use if you're under stress. So when did you kind of discover that? That's a huge takeaway. That's a big point that I want the listeners and I want people in my course to understand, that under stress you can use the buggy whip. When did that come together for you that you realized, hey, this is going to actually help a player go from 4-0 to 4-5, or help a player go from 500 in the world to 250 in the world by handling shots under stress that they couldn't normally handle before?
Well, because when I was playing internationally for Ireland, like, I absolutely, when I was competing at that highest level against other international teams, I found myself, I didn't have the time when I was really pulled. I'm a right-handed player, and I didn't have the time when I went out. I kept missing the forehand with my regular finish. And then when I started incorporating the buggy, I went from being able to just absolutely hit a ball on the full run, down the line, or a cross-court angle pass, or a topspin lob, and on the return to serve, like you were saying, even more so on the do side, and they hit that slice out wide, I was able to get over there and take a real rip at it, and I was able to hit a winner rather than just blocking it back. So most people, they don't have that buggy, that they'll end up just chipping the ball, and they become defensive when they're stretched out wide rather than offensive. And that's the key. You can be offensive with your shot selection with the buggy, whereas if you don't have the buggy, you're going to end up chipping that ball. And it's just, it became a no-brainer for me that whenever I was really, really rushed and I didn't have, you know, the normal time to hit a ball, using the buggy enabled me to get back into points or to win points outright. Yeah, I was able to neutralize point play. It was huge.
Another thing that I wanted to ask you, Joe, and these are all great points, is do you ever use the buggy whip when you're working with a client or a player to help them with their regular forehand? So if they're struggling with their forehand, do you have them hit a bunch of buggy whips to get a feel for a certain concept and then have them go back to hitting a regular forehand?
That's exactly what you and I used to do, and that's what I still do with my players. If they're struggling with the forehand and they say they want to add more power, they're struggling to it. If you show them where that full extension is with the arm, it absolutely helps. It helps you have a better regular forehand as well. Yeah, so if you're struggling at all with the forehand, it's a great drill to go back and just, you know, hold that buggy with finish in front, you know, in front. And then you can really work on, you know, on turning your hand on a normal finish as well. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that 100%. And then the other thing, a lot of the coaches two things happen when some coaches disagree. One is they don't know how to teach the buggy whip correctly. That's the first thing. They don't have the right finish themselves, so they don't know how to teach it. And so they give the excuse that, oh, well, it's wrapping the dial, and it's because of his body type, and it's because of his strength, and that's why he uses that finish. Well, if you rewind the videotape back to the 1970s, it's as clear as day. And with Pete Sampras, that is just not the case. It's not true. Just not true. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And so in all the years that you've been coaching, you've worked with a lot of young players and you've worked with a lot of adults, and you've probably shown buggy whips to just about anyone. How often have you seen a shoulder or arm problem? Because that's the thing that I hear as well. You're going to hurt your shoulder if you use the buggy whip. How often have you seen that? And if someone is experiencing shoulder pain by using the buggy whip, what suggestions do you have other than obviously resting until it feels better?
Well, to be honest, any of the touring professionals and all the Davis Cup players that I've worked with have never developed any injuries from using the buggy whip finish. It's probably something else. They're gripping the racket too tightly, or they've injured their arm in some other way. But like anything else, if you're starting something new, you know, you don't have to do, you know, start off for 2 or 3 minutes, you know, of just doing the buggy whip and then just add to it. It's kind of like you don't want to go out there and do it for an hour, because that's just going to be a repetitive-based injury. You're just asking for that to happen. Just like if you're a double-handed backhand and you've never used a slice and then you learn how to use a slice, well, that's a different tendon in your arm as well. You can't go out and just hit slice backhand for an hour. You have to build the strength up there as well. I mean, you're not going to hit slice backhands for an hour. So just, you know, just start off nice and slowly with it, and there should not be any problems whatsoever. It is definitely not going to cause you an injury. Absolutely not. Absolutely
Yeah,
not.
As long as you're loose and you're extending and you're not doing 3,000 reps a day,
exactly.
You should be okay. But, Joe, so the pro game, where is it heading with the buggy whip? Are we going to see more and more people using it? I know you and I, well, you're on the tour a lot more than I do, but we see it at all levels now, much more so than probably 10 years ago. Is that the continuing trend, both on the men's and the women's side?
That's going to be a continuing trend. And if you do not have that shot, I would say, on the pro tour, if you haven't mastered that shot, you're not going to make it, basically. You're not going to make it on the men's tour or on the women's tour. Yeah. You just have to look. I mean, when you show them, when everybody takes a look at your videos, it'll open their eyes, and you can go on YouTube and you can look at any rallies. that are out there on the professional tennis when Roland Garros is coming up, and you will see every player will use that buggy. They'll incorporate it into their game. They will use it. You'll see Roger. You'll see Andy Murray using it. You will see, obviously, see Rafa using it. Yeah, it's out there. You'll see Maria Sharapova using it, Wawrinka. I mean, and then you can go back and look at Capriati, Lindsay Davenport. The list is, it's a very long list of tennis players who incorporated that buggy whip into their forehand and been very, very successful professionals, Grand Slam champions, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great stuff as always, Joe. You opened my eyes to the buggy whip. I didn't know it existed at a level that you teach it, and it really helped me, obviously, with my career, helped me that summer win the Aptos Challenger and to have many more great results after I learned it. So I thank you for that, and continue to wish you much success with all of the players that you're impacting and helping out there in the tennis world. So thanks again for your time, Joe, and appreciate all your insight on the buggy whip today.
Yeah, and thank you, Jeff, for all your help, and especially for helping out with James. We're both kind of putting a team effort behind James McGee, the Irish number one, in his quest to reach the top 100. So, yeah, it's just a pleasure to work with you on the road as well at the professional ATP Tour event. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Yeah, it's been fun.
Thank you for helping our listeners out today, and we'll see you in the next interview.
See you in the next interview. Have a great evening. See you.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.